Well, I have a really wonderful message prepared for you today. Looking forward to sharing it with you. Yes, I think you're going to like this. If this doesn't light your fire, your wood is wet. Since I began, or actually before I began teaching on this message, which is humility and pride, the Lord put it on my heart that this is what He wanted me to teach, and I began immediately seeking Him to share with me what exactly is this all about, you know, to really understand humility and pride. And when I say seek the Lord on it, I mean like literally it's the most important thing that's on my heart. I'm thinking about it constantly. I'm talking to the Lord constantly. You know, just throughout the day, it will come to my mind again, and I'll find myself going, Lord, more. I need to understand this more. Teach me, Lord. Holy Spirit, teach me. And I mean it. You know what I mean? And I just want to say that when we are serious about knowing a truth from the Lord, and I mean you're really serious about it, not just that, you know, right now I'm kind of feeling like I'd like to know about it, so you throw up a prayer, and then you don't really think about it again for the next 2 weeks. Your heart's not on it. You don't really care that much about learning it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you really want to understand something, and you're saying, God, show this to me. I want to learn it. When you do that, when I do that, the Holy Spirit is here. He's our teacher, and He will teach you. Jesus said, if you hunger, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, what will happen to them? They will be filled. But listen to the language. Hunger. Thirst. You're not already full and you don't really, you know, I mean, you'll take another piece of pie if it's there, you know, but that's not the position of heart that He's referring to. It's when you hunger and thirst. And let me just tell you, I love it when I am hungry and thirsting after something because it's not always there. Sometimes, you know, I'm just not there. I don't know why, and I wish it was, and I don't find myself hungering and thirsting. But I have been hungering and thirsting to understand this. And as a result, almost, I don't know that a day has gone by in probably the last 3 weeks that I haven't gotten something from the Lord on this. He has just been giving it to me and giving it to me. And I'm not talking like major downloads every day. I'm talking about just this pearl dropped in my heart on Tuesday. And then this other pearl dropped into my heart on Wednesday. And He just keeps doing that. One of those particular days was on Monday, this last Monday evening, laying in bed. And I was thinking about it. And I was really mulling over my mind about all that the Lord had already shown me about pride and humility. And I was just kind of just before the Lord, and I was talking to Him, and I'm like, Lord, this is really, I'm getting it. This is really incredible. I'm loving this more. Father, I want to understand it more. And I was just kind of like that. I was just talking to Him about it. And then it was just almost suddenly, I had it, this like understanding that He just gave me that I had never seen before. And it was so beautiful. And I am going to endeavor today to share it with you. And I say endeavor because, you know, when the Lord gives it to you, there's just such depth. It was almost a picture form, and there was such depth to it. I got it. But then I was trying to think, how do I paint that picture for you? And so I'm going to endeavor to do that, and I'm literally today, I'm going to give you a picture of pride, and I'm going to give you a picture of humility. Is that cool? Yes. An actual picture of it. It's the picture He gave me, and He showed it to me. This is pride. This is humility. I was like, Lord, that is good. It was so awesome. And I thought at first I was just going to try and describe it to you, which I am going to try and do. But then I thought maybe I could actually create a picture. So I gave it my best. I didn't even employ our in-house graphic designer to do it. Only because I really decided last night is when I wanted to put this in a picture form.
Thank you.
Yes. And I thought, I can't do this to him. I'll do it on my own. So I did. It's not perfect. What I need you to do is to look at it. What's that?
Use your imagination. Yes,
use your imagination. In fact, I really thought, am I going to be hindering you by showing you a picture because I want your imagination involved. But then I thought, I think this will help. Just let it be just a real basic, you know, rough concept. And then just go with it. Try and get the concept and just go with it in your mind. All right? So here we go. First, I want to do a real quick reminder of what we've already learned because it's going to roll into this. It's very important. Humility, and by the way, in this process of God giving me that, all of a sudden I started feeling like I understood humility to the point that I could write a definition for it. And I grabbed a pen, and I mean, it was almost like he was giving it to me, and I grabbed, almost, he was, it was coming from the Lord. I grabbed a pad, which I always have alongside my bed because I tend to get a lot of stuff from the Lord while laying in bed. So I grabbed the pad and I started writing down, Lord, that's good. Wait a minute. You know, but it was a concept. It wasn't like he was giving me the words and I was trying to write the concept. So I wrote a definition and then I wrote a second one and then a third and then a fourth. Humility is as difficult to define as grace and as difficult to define as love. It's so beautiful and it's so multifaceted that even the definition I wrote that I'm going to share with you today, I am not saying this is all of what humility is. It is not at all. And in fact, it's really only one aspect. However, that said, I believe it is the big, fat, center target part of it. I think it's the meat of it. But there are other aspects it doesn't even touch. This doesn't define it. It does other aspects that are not even brought into this definition. All right, so just understand that. This isn't the all in all. Now, let's review real quick what we have gone over in the last couple of weeks. First of all, I gave you a whole list of scriptures. Would someone run this back to Louis? I forgot to give this to him. And I'm just going to go over a couple of them. Louis, I'm so sorry. I forgot to give that to you ahead of time. I just realized when I looked down on it, it said sound team on the top, and that wasn't my copy. It was his. I'm going to go over a couple of the scriptures that we went over just to give you God's definition, God's feeling about humility and about pride. All right, you with me? Everyone listening? Okay, good. Kids, you are doing awesome. Just stay right there. All right, so here we go. Psalm 25:9 says this. Psalm 25:9, the humble, he guides in justice. Now think about this. This is what God has to say about humility and about pride. The humble, he guides in justice. And the humble, he teaches his way. Isaiah 57:15 says this. For thus says the Lord, or thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. Luke 14:11. This is Jesus speaking. Luke 14:11, and Jesus said, for whoever exalts himself, that is pride, will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. James 4:6 gives us another incredible insight to how God feels about pride and how he feels about humility. James 4:6 says, but he gives grace. God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4:10 very similarly says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. He will lift you up. See, here's one of the wrong thinkings about humility. We tend to think, if I really take on this concept of humbling myself, I'm just going to be left behind. The world is going to move on past me. I'm going to be left here saying, oh Lord, I'm just a humble person. I'm going to be, you know, left with less, and you know, but I'm going to be humble. You know, this concept of basically being left behind. How am I supposed to go after that thing that I want, that career that I want, that, you know, whatever it is that we're after? How can I do that with a mindset of humility? And that is because we have a completely erroneous understanding of humility. And I'm just going to be endeavoring through this series to really clarify what true, and when I say true humility, I mean biblical humility. The humility as defined by God, which means the only real definition there is. Anything else is just hooey. I mean, the world may have their definition of humility. We don't care about that. What we care about is only what God says humility is. And what I'm saying to you is God's humility doesn't leave you left behind. It does exactly the opposite. He says here in James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will what? Lift you up. Does that sound like left behind? No, he will lift you up. Look at 1 Peter 5:5. It says the same thing. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And lastly, Matthew 18:4. Moving a little quickly because this is just review. Matthew 18:4. Jesus said, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of God. Let me ask you this. What matters to you more? And I mean seriously, think about this. What matters to you more? That you would be great in the eyes of anybody on this planet or great in the eyes of God? What matters more to you? Do you want to be great in the eyes of the Creator of the universe? If so, he says here, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of God, or you could say is the greatest in the eyes of God. The humble are great in the eyes of God. We also discussed another aspect of pride and humility in talking about gifts. When we have gifts, we find ourselves becoming prideful about the gifts. And I was saying, now don't think in terms of humility as we need to put ourselves down and say, no, I'm just, you know, I know people say, oh, you sing so well. No, not really. I'm surprised people even listen to my voice, you know. That is not humility. And in fact, that is what the Bible refers to as false humility. And Paul tells us to get away from false humility, because false humility is nothing more than one of many masks of pride. It's pure pride. Inside you're saying, yeah, I sing quite well, don't I? But you're not going to say that to somebody else. It's false humility. It's pride in disguise. And it's garbage. All right? Now, but true humility isn't, okay, I'm going to truly believe about myself that I can't sing, I'm not talented at mathematics, and I'm not a good engineer, and I'm not a good businessman, I don't want to think like that. No, that's not true humility either. True humility simply sees yourself accurately and says, if I'm a good engineer, great, I'm a good engineer. I also just recognize where it came from. That's what humility, that's true humility in the eyes of God. He doesn't say, don't beat yourself up. I gave you that gift. I want you to enjoy it. Just remember where it came from. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 4:7, and that's what this verse describes. It says, who makes you differ from another? It does not say that you don't differ. It does not say you are a better singer. It doesn't say you're not a better singer. or you're not a better engineer, or you're not a better businessman, or you're not a better mother, or you're not a better whatever. It's not saying you're not. It's not saying you don't differ. It's the emphasis is on the very first word. Who makes you differ? And as long as we keep that perspective, we're good. It will keep us in a place of humility. Not false humility, true humility. Just says, okay, I recognize I have this. But, you know, and if people even applaud you for it, you're just like, you know, that's really sweet. I appreciate that. I know your heart. I know you're trying to say good things. I appreciate it. That's awesome. But inside, you're going, Lord. I mean, it's, he did it. It's just like that vase, right, where you talked about in your foyer. Someone else, Michelangelo, by the way, I looked up Michelangelo. He is actually a sculptor. I didn't know if he was just a painter. He's a sculptor, a sculptor, a painter, a poet, and there was a fourth one. I can't remember it now. But anyhow, so Michelangelo makes this vase, and he gives it to you, this vase, and you put it in your foyer for everyone to see. And when they come in and they see this vase, and they say, oh my goodness, instead of saying, yeah, incredible, isn't it? I mean, I am, aren't I? That's stupidity. It's pure stupidity. Because why? Because you didn't make the vase. Who made the vase? Michelangelo. So what you can do is go, isn't that incredible? That's awesome. You wouldn't really want to say that to someone else because they don't understand true humility. You got to be careful. When you want to walk in true humility, you got to remember, you may have the concept. By the way, you keep this in mind. Even after you get the concept, you still have to be fairly careful because most other people don't have the true concept of true humility. True humility will go, yeah, I am really good at that, aren't I? But if you're in true humility, you're not taking any glory for it. You're just saying, that is, I know, you recognize the gifting of God and you're saying, that's awesome, isn't it? That's a gifting the Lord gave me. Isn't that great? But you can't really say that because most people don't. Their filters are skewed. So they'll be like, you've got issues, man. But we can at least understand it correctly, have our heart right, and it will literally set you free to have true humility. All right, so, and then the last week we talked about the origin of it, and we went back to the Garden of Eden, and we saw, first we looked at Satan in Isaiah 14, where he says, I will exalt myself. I will do this, I will do that. Five times he said, I will. And he was talking about exalting himself to be equal with God. And as fast as lightning strikes from the east to the west, he was cast out of heaven to earth. That's how fast it happened. Then that same person, now that's where pride started. It originated with him. It says iniquity, and it was referring to the iniquity of pride, was found in Satan's heart. Lucifer was his name. It was found in his heart. Then that same Lucifer was in the Garden of Eden when God created our first parents, and he breathed his poison of pride, which was the desire to be like God. That's what he was after. He failed, and he sowed that into the heart of our first parents. If you eat of this, you will be what? Like God, knowing good and evil. He sowed the very same pride into their heart. They drank it in. They didn't have to, but they did. And that is the origin of pride. And that's what we talked about last week. And I went so far as to say that it is my belief, and this week, I hadn't even thought about it. I was thinking about the comment I made last week. I believe it in the core of my being, and I just said it. And later I was thinking, is that really scriptural? I hope I was accurate about that. I get nervous if I say something. Sometimes I say something, and I believe it's by the Holy Ghost. I wasn't planning on saying it. I wasn't expecting to say it. And it comes out, and I'm just like really strong. And then later I'll go, was that accurate? Doesn't happen a lot. Don't be afraid. And I went back. I started researching. I was like, that is so accurate. It is totally right on. It's awesome. I have a scripture I want to share with you on it. And that is, I said, every time we speak out of pride, it is literally a satanic event. Do you remember that comment? What's that? Yes. Well, get this. Let me give you one scriptural proof of that. Turn with me to James chapter 3. Man, I hope I get to what I want to get through today, but this is really good. I'm going to share this with you, and then I'm going to dive into what the Lord showed me. James chapter 3, starting at, just to expedite, I'm going to start at verse 6. And open your Bibles, look at this. This is really good. I'm going to move quickly on it, but listen. It says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members. I'm being upstaged right now. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. It's talking about your in my tongue, right? And is set on fire by what? By hell. Does that sound like what I was saying? Set on fire by hell. Now continue. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. And I'm going to go all the way to all the way through the chapter. So you can just keep going with me, Lou. I'm going to go all the way to 18. But no man, verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly what? Evil. Notice God's language about it. It is no stronger than mine. It was right on. Right in line with it. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we what? Curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives and a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring can yield both salt water and fresh. Who is wise and understanding among you? This is something the Lord began to show me. Pride is literally the most moronic mindset a human being is capable of. The most moronic mindset a human being is capable of. I said it last week. I'm talking mud for brains. When we act or even just think in our heart in the area of pride, we literally in that moment are as dumb as is humanly possible. It's pure deception of our own heart. We're deceiving ourselves. We're walking in complete darkness and blinded. Humility, on the other hand, is exactly the opposite. It is literally the wisest state of mind. It's accurate. I'm not talking, again, you need to understand, humility isn't this, oh, I'm just a worthless worm. That is not humility. That's the world's understanding of it. Forget that. That's nonsense. That's not what I'm talking about. Now, there'll be some things I'm going to say that are start to feel like that. Well, you're saying I shouldn't. All I'm saying is don't puff yourself up above that which you should. Understand who you are accurately. Just accurate. Humility is pure wisdom. It sees everything accurately. All right, and I'm going to be describing that more. When I give you a picture of humility, you'll understand it more clearly. So let's continue. Where did I leave off? 13. Let's reread 13. Oh, yeah. Who is wise and understanding among you? Listen to the language. He says, he was just talking about pride, right? And then he goes, who's wise and understanding among you? He's switching to the other side. That would be a person walking in humility. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in what? Meekness and wisdom. That is he's talking about humility. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, beautiful description for pride. This is what pride is. Pride is all about me. It's all about me. Did you not know that the universe revolves around me? It's this self-seeking, envious, it's all about me. I don't want you to succeed. I want to succeed. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. You see what you're doing? What I'm doing when we do that? We're lying against the truth. We're walking in complete deception when we're in pride. This wisdom does not descend from above. Listen to what it is. This wisdom that you think you have does not descend from above, but is earthly, is sensual, and what?
Demonic.
There it is. Exactly what I said last week. Every time we act in pride, it is literally a satanic event. I love that. Let it just burn it out of me. Praise God, man. It just makes you not dance around, oh, I know, I should have done that. You know, we just kind of play with it. I know I shouldn't have done that, but you know that person, they ticked me off, man. You know, we kind of massage it a little bit. Like, well, everyone does it. I mean, don't get on my case. All right, I mean, I got a little out of sorts there just for a minute. We even had this conversation with ourselves. We don't understand. No, that was satanic. That was a demonic action that you just took. I just took just then. Don't sugarcoat this thing. It's demonic. It came from Satan. That's why God hates it. Write these couple scriptures down real quick. Write these down. You ready? I'm just going to give you a minute. I want you to write these down. This is just, I'm going to give you like three out of about 103 I could give you that are this strong of language. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Proverbs 6, verse 16 and 17. And Proverbs 16, verse 5. Proverbs 16 and verse 5. I just want you to look those up later. Look at God's attitude towards pride. Let me tell you this. From what I've read, what I understand in Scripture, I don't think there is another thing God hates more. Nothing that God hates more than pride. It's strong. Strong language. But when you read those verses, that'll just be three of many, 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 many verses that are just as strong. All right, so I ended there at verse 15. Verse 16 says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. You know what? I'm not going to be able to get into what I wanted to get into today. But this is still good. What's that? Stay on this. Exactly. Amen. I believe this is Holy Ghost, so we're just going to stay here. Because I don't want to rush the other part. It's too good. You're going to love it. But this is good. This is what I've actually been feeding on. What I'm giving you right now is what I've been feeding on for 3 and 4 weeks, not what I was going to share with you today. This is a new revelation for me, so we'll have that next week. This is money. Do you understand that pride is literally a demonic event happening in my heart? It's satanic. It's not something to play with. It's not something to put up with and allow yourself just a little bit here and there. You know, let me give you a real... I keep interrupting myself. Let me at least finish reading this chapter. There's only 2 verses left. We can get through this. Verse 16 says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. Where envy and self-seeking... This is pride. It's all about self. That's what pride is. It's me. All I can see is me. And the problem I'm having with you right now is that you cannot see me in this situation. That's the problem. That's why I'm angry with you. Can't you see what you did to me? Can't you see how you made me feel? It's all me, me, me. And God would say to us, my child, just forget about you. I've got you. Don't you trust me? I've got you. Why are you worried about you? I have you. Would you please just care about them? Take care of them. Love them. I've got you. But we're all worried about taking care of ourselves. We need to protect ourselves. And God says, don't do that. That's how the devil acts. Jesus, in talking to his disciples, said, you know, you see the Gentiles around you. They worry about clothing. They worry about drink. They worry about housing. And what did he say to them? Don't do that. Don't be like that. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Go after what he's after. But if I'm walking in that kind of humility and I'm just going to be a servant, I'm just taking care of others, who's going to take care of me? This is the fear we have about walking in humility. We think, my gosh, I've got to look out for me. No one else is going to. And Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what does he say after that? All of these things, houses, clothing, food, and drink, will be added to you. Added to you means you don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. The Father is saying, I will be about your business. Get you off your mind. I've got you. I am a good Father. I'm not missing anything. Jesus said, just before that verse, he said, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. The problem is, you're all about your business. I'm including me. I'm with you. Whenever I say you, I'm talking us. We are all about our business, always trying to take care of us. And so we're like, Father, where's that awesome provision you're talking about? He says, well, let me know when you want me to take over. Right now, you're doing it. I mean, there's only one person can get behind the wheel. And right now, you're behind it. Sorry to say. So just let me know when you want me to take over. And now, if you want to do it my way, of course, your job is to concern yourself with others. And when you're doing that, that triggers me. I will take care of you. That's my promise to you. That's the promise of the Father. His promise isn't, don't worry about you and don't worry about anybody else either, and then I'll take care of you. That's not the promise. We have to get into agreement with heaven. Heaven says, take care of them, and I will take care of you. So this is the position of humility, and it's pure wisdom. Listen, if you have a multi-billionaire right here that says, hey, I make a deal with you. If you'll help out these people over here that need help, and I'll give you the provision even to help them, I will take care of you for the rest of your life.
Amen.
What would you say to that? Well, the majority of us are saying, no, it's all right, I'm good, I got this. And I'm going to take care of me. I don't really have time for them. I mean, who's going to take care of me? I got to take care of me. And he said, well, I think I just told you. That would be me. That would be me. I'll take care of you. I mean, we have it. We can read it over and over. It's in all the pages. But the problem is, I don't think we really believe it. And so we just continue on taking care of ourselves, even though the creator of the universe, who paves his driveway with gold, who said he will take care of us, we just don't really believe it. So we keep taking care of us. And God is saying to us, I really want to take you to another level. But to go to another level, you've got to get this. This is the staircase to that level.
That's good.
The staircase of humility. Humility is how you climb the mountain of God. And humility takes on a servant's heart. Humility is about others. But the wisdom that is above. Now this, by the way, every time he talked about like the wisdom that this wisdom does not send from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic, he's describing pride. And now in verse 17, he describes humility. But this wisdom is from above. It is first pure. Think about this. This is literally the description of humility. It's pure, then peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield. That's a major piece of it. Willing to yield. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Real practical example. Pride is all about us. It's about me. You know, where is one of the greatest challenges we all have in dealing with pride and humility? Can anyone think, what's like one of those? It's almost guaranteed every time you get in this situation, it becomes probably one of the most difficult situations on the planet. Sports. No, not sports. You may get angry and all that, but I'm talking about you're being confronted in a relationship type situation where it fires us up. Marriage. Where's another one for those of you who aren't married, and for those of you who are married, where's another one? You're getting the whole concept. Say that in a bigger
family.
I mean, it's just prime territory. Why? Because they know you so well, and you know them so well, and they've done that thing 10,000 times. And it's like, you've got to be kidding me. Are we still dealing with this? You know. So all that to say, I want to make sure y'all have the same problem I do. I have such an incredible family. I mean, seriously, I need to be, and I am so grateful for my family. My family's awesome. I love my family. But here's just a prime example. We're all together for Thanksgiving, right? And I'm helping out someone, you know, in the kitchen doing some things. And I'm helping out. And I'm thinking I'm helping just because I'm trying to be a good guy and just help out, right? So I'm just helping. And then I ended up, and then this person said a couple things that caused me to realize that it's no longer like receiving it as I'm just trying to help. It's an expectation now. It changed. I'm like, oh, okay. I thought I was doing this to help, and now I realize now they're like, well, why haven't you done that yet? And I was like, okay, that just changed it right there. I realized, oh, this is an expectation now. All right, cool. And then I went out of the room. I had to get something, and then it took me a long time to find something, and then the thought hit me. Now that I've been gone for a long time, when I come back, that person's probably going to be even go so far as to be upset with me. Where have you been? We have all this to do, you know, that kind of thing. And I was kind of starting to anticipate this comment when I came back. And I found myself getting a little bit fired up. And I was kind of starting to prepare my response. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How many of you are with me? Am I the only one here? And I found myself getting a little bit worked up. I was like, I know what this person's going to say when I come back in the room. And they don't even know. Even what I'm doing now, I'm trying to find something to help in this situation. It just took me longer than I expected. And what happened to the whole thing? I was just trying to be good and helpful and, you know, all this. And I started getting a little bit worked up. And all of a sudden, everything I've been thinking about, meditating on, and learning from the Lord in the last couple of weeks, it just hit me. And I went, oh, I got you, pride. Full on nailed it right between the eyes. I was like, that is pure pride, man. That is pride, pride. It's demonic. There was literally a demonic activity that was starting to formulate in my heart. Why? Well, because this person needs to understand that I was trying to help this person. I mean, it's all about how they see me, and they're not seeing me the way I want them to see me, because I know what I meant by this, and they're not seeing it the same way I meant it, and that is ticking me up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just, it's all me. It's all about me. What about the fact that maybe they are slaving themselves? And they just were like looking for, I don't even want to try to justify it. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter what they were thinking. What matters is my response. And so I just worked it through. It only took a few seconds. I went, oh yeah, I've got you nailed, pride. That is pure garbage. It's not of me. I will have nothing to do with that. And I started thinking, you know what? When I walk back in, they can say whatever they want. I mean, they can just light me up. Where have you been? I thought you were going to be here. I mean, if they decide to do that, I was just going to be like, yeah, I'm so sorry. It took me longer than I expected. What would you like me to do? I mean, I was all prepared. I was just going to just totally love them and get me off my mind. Who cares about what they think about me? It doesn't matter. But I can be a blessing to them. I can help them. Even if, not that they even need help, but if they did, you know what I mean? If they are out of line, I can just absorb it with pure love and just tick Satan off and light the fire, light the Father's face up. You know what I mean? And I was like, this is going to be awesome. I was so glad I got a hold of that. And it only took just a few seconds. I was in this closet where it was like a pantry closet, you know. And I came out and I walked into the kitchen. And you know what they did? Nothing. It totally bummed me out, man. I was like ready for this beautiful opportunity to just love them. They didn't say a word. Done, kept working. Oh, you got that? Oh, that's great. You know, just went on. There was nothing there. But man, I want you to know, if the opportunity presented itself, I was ready. But you know, it's just that kind of a thing. It's that simple. It's that practical, where we get ready to cut someone's head off, and it's pure pride. Pride is about us. Humility is about God and others. Humility cares about God and others. And humility is the most protected place you can be. The devil would try and lie to you and say it's the most vulnerable place there is. It's actually the most protective place you can possibly be, because you come into the Father's protection. He says, I've got you. Don't worry about it. I look for the humble, he says, and I lift them up. I lift them up. He says, I am the high and lofty one, and I dwell with those of a poor and contrite spirit. If you've got a humble spirit, he says, you are with me, and I am with you. I've got you. Amen. God has us. If we will put off this demonic influence and take on the cloak of humility, God says, now we're talking, and now we're walking, and you're going to see my glory. God says, I will give you something that is the most incredible thing in all of the universe. It's called what? God gives what to the humble? Grace. Grace will come all over you and your life and my life if we choose to walk in humility with the human race and before God. Wow, it's pure wisdom. James chapter 3, I encourage you, read it this week. Read it over and over and over. Watch as he starts talking about self-seeking. Replace those words with pride. He's describing pride. He's describing the mentality of pride. And when he talks about wisdom from above, he's describing humility. And let it compare. I mean, read the comparison and just meditate on that and say, and identify yourself in that and say, what do I want to be in this? As just describing James chapter 3, as just describing pride and humility, talk to your own heart and say, heart, where are we going to be? Let's make a decision. For the rest of our days, this is where we're going to walk, and we are never going to give our tongue to hurting other people, to saying something to them, cutting them down because we feel like they're pulling us down and we need to be lifted up. That's all pride is. It's pure self-glorification. That's all pride's after. It's after self-glorification. God says, stop that. That's Satan. That's what he was trying to do. That's of him. Kick it out. Have nothing to do with it. I'll take care of you. Just love them, and I'll take care of you. Amen. Father God, we thank you for this beautiful truth that you are washing over us with this truth about humility, true biblical humility, and about pride and how wicked it is. Father, you're washing over us with these truths to set us free, to set us on a new trajectory, to go higher with you. I know you're doing this, Lord, because you have great things in store for us. And we have to take this on, this cloak of humility, if we're ever going to experience those places with you. There's no other way. So, Father, we pray that this truth about humility, Father, would take root in our hearts. Lord, make us thirsty for it, that we would learn of it more and more and more. We pray, Father, for the sealing of this word that went forth today into our hearts, that it would produce a hundredfold return, that it would continue to grow and become that great oak tree that Peter read about in Isaiah 61, that it would be that great oak tree of righteousness in our life, this oak tree of humility, true humility. We pray this, Father, in the name of Jesus. We receive this by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Wow, weren't the kids phenomenal? Oh my gosh. Good job, kids. Wow. Wouldn't even known they were here. That's some godly parenting right there. That's what I'm talking about. That's some godly parenting. Woo! All right, have a beautiful day. If anyone needs prayer for anything, please come up. We're here to pray for you. Otherwise, see you next week. God bless you. Love you.